This morning I wanted to just speak on briefly on a point that I had mentioned in passing last time when I was speaking on Hebrews. I had mentioned a quote from Romans 1 verses 25 in which it speaks of those that would worship the created rather than the creator. And we see that so prevalently in our world today, and I didn't have the chance to really speak on it, and so I wanted to speak a little bit further on there, but I will be speaking from 1 Timothy 4. And God used Paul. He wrote this letter to Timothy. He wrote two letters to Timothy, and to warn him of the day in which he lived, but also the apostasy he was often wrote about, the apostasy within the church at his time, but also for the time to come in the future. And he warns him, knowing that there was great concern. There was great concerns that were coming, infiltrating into the church. And it's amazing how God's word is so accurate, but maybe that shouldn't be amazing. It's God who has given us this word. So I'll be reading 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 5. And this picks up on that idea that man worships the created things of this world rather than the one who created it. And we should always be pointing our worship to him. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Here we read that the Holy Spirit speaks directly through Paul, that in the last days some would depart from the faith, meaning that some were once counted amongst the Christian body. They went to church, they were kind to their neighbors, they appeared Christ-like, and yet truly never believed in the saving salvation of our Lord Jesus. Didn't believe he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world, nor came to a point of repentance and submission. And so we're never born of the Spirit, never sealed by the Spirit of adoption. And these are false converts. But these are even worse. It's wolves among sheep, which Jesus often warned about. And as such, they are given to seducing spirits, he says. We are spiritual beings. If we are not filled with the Spirit of God, then another spirit is going to try and take up real estate within our lives. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, Paul writes. They do the work of the devil, promoting the lies, all because their minds are seared with a hot iron. Now, being seared with a hot iron, it has two ideas or implications. One is that their minds are kind of like cauterized, that they are unable to absorb the truth and the love of God. It also means to be branded like cattle, only with the marks of our sin. They haven't been washed. And what is their objective? Well, according to this, it is to disrupt, to dissuade, to deceive others, to believe a lie. And Paul mentions two specific lies, which are incredibly relevant today. That they would forbid people from marrying and forbid people from eating meat, which was very true in that time as well. Now, I'll say this right up front. It's not wrong if someone chooses to not get married or chooses not to eat meat. These godly people make decisions, these type of decisions, for a variety of reasons. But it is incredibly sinful to promote and say that others shouldn't, that it's wrong. For God has ordained both of these things. There is nothing, for there is an attack on marriage and meat, the consumption of meat, because these are the two topics Timothy is talking about. There is an attack on those things in our day today. People are encouraged not to get married because, well, they might have children, and that will overpopulate the world. That's the idea, many will say. Overpopulation, though, is a myth. God has created this world to sustain life at a great abundance. This is a lie from Satan, and which is promoted by all sorts of world leaders today. And I don't like to pick on people, but I remember hearing an interview from that Bill Gates had given a number of years ago, in which he said that the world is overpopulated. It needs to be 500 million people. That's what is the ideal number. And we need to get to that somehow. And if you look at our population, we're somewhere around 8 billion. So that means about 90% of us have to volunteer to get out of here, I guess. Well, if it means to go to the Lord, I'll volunteer. But I don't think we're to volunteer our lives. There's an example after example of this type of talk that we hear from certain people within leadership. But what does God say? Because that is what we come to seek and to gain wisdom from. Genesis 1 verse 28, at creation, God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And this promise, this blessing, was also given to Noah. In Genesis 9, verse 1, after the flood, God blessed Noah, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth." We also know that marriage is something that is ordained by God and is promoted. Genesis 2, verse 24, and Jesus quotes that in Matthew 19, verse 5, saying that a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, there was no other exceptions there. It was a man and a wife that were married, and it was a blessing. It was ordained by God. Marriage and offspring have been promoted and are ordained by God for his creation. They're not to be perverted by unholy unions. They are not to be preventing others from engaging in that. The second lie of Satan, promoted by man, is that we shouldn't eat meat. They'll say it's cruel. Animals are emitting too many CO2s, and it's unhealthy. Well, there may be some truth to people may treat animals unjustly. That's not right either. But once again, what has God commanded? Well, in Genesis 1, verse 29 and 30, God did create us as vegetarians. He says that you're to eat of the herbs of the earth. But after the fall, and specifically after the flood, God added to that decree. He told Noah in Genesis 9, verse 3 and 4, "Every moving thing that shall be meat for you, even as the green herb, have I given you all things." There was only two provisions that they were to abstain from, and that was meat offered to idols and meat that was consumed with the blood still in it, not drained from it. And Paul confirms those things in Acts 15, verse 20, and 1 Corinthians 8. But we know that it's not wrong to eat meat, because in Acts 10, Peter is famously given a vision by God, and in fact, Jesus commands him to kill and eat the many different animals that were presented before him, many of which were unclean, considered to be unclean by Jewish law. And he had to question God even in that. But it was confirmed by Jesus. God even gave the Corinthians the provision that it wasn't wrong to eat, or that they weren't in sin if they ate meat that was offered to idols, if they did so out of ignorance, not knowing it was. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 27 says, "If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you do dispose to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience' sake." Now, we don't maybe come into that realm very often where people are offering meat to idols, and so we think that maybe that doesn't apply. But if you travel, and I remember when we were in Peru with my brother, you never know who prepared this food, and there is a lot of those type of cultural spiritualism. So if you don't know, this is one provision where ignorance is permissible and actually promoted by God. And Romans 14 also tells us to not flaunt our liberty. So if there are those that choose not to eat meat or choose not to eat certain things, we are not to flaunt that our liberty. Romans 14 verse 3 says, "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eats. For God has received him." Both are received of God. It's our condition, it's our heart that he is judging. And in verse 14, Paul further says of Romans 14, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." And so God will convict people, and maybe some people's convictions are slightly different on food and these type of things. The world will promote all sorts of lies to deceive others. They will try and fit you in a certain way, but we are not to be given to that. We are to first seek the truth of God through his word and through the leading of his Holy Spirit, not to be given to these smoke screens that cause man to worship the creation rather than the creator. The creation is for us to enjoy and to actually be put over, but not to worship. God's word has stood the test of time and has proven to be right. If we receive meat, let us also do so with thanksgiving and prayer, for it is sanctified by the word of God. And let us hold fast to the biblical framework of marriage between a man and woman, promoting the increase in families to the glory of God. Whatever your convictions, do so to honor God. But do not think to force them on others, for they may be convicted otherwise. We are to build each other up in the faith and cause each other to grow in faith. And that is the instructions that Paul was given to the church.